Thanks a million, Shane.
It's the Ray Dassey Show on RTE Radio 1. Enjoy the show.
Yes, good afternoon. And that is exactly what it is. What a difference a day makes. Hope you're well. It is bright, it's light, it's breezy, the sun is shining. We'll take that. Absolutely. And when I was walking down to studio, in fact, the RTE Concert Orchestra were rehearsing in full sound. It was like my own welcome down the steps. And they just sound incredible. So, and of course, we've been keeping up with US President Joe Biden, who is on the move. And lovely to see him in the sunshine today in the gardens of the Auris. I think everybody breathed a sigh of relief for him after yesterday. And fair play to you if you were in the crowds, in the rain, lots of coverage of smiling people in plastic ponchos, but a great welcome he was given. And again, welcomed to Farmley by Taoiseach Leo Varadkar this afternoon. And as you heard there on the news with Shane, he is due to address a joint sitting of the Houses of the Oireachtas. So just before that happens, we could be handing over to the Ceann Comhairle of Dáil Éireann and Sean O'Farrell, who'll introduce him as the president delivers his address. So we'll be keeping an eye on that. He's been running a little bit behind time, but we'll keep you updated on that throughout the show. But in other news, the countdown for the Eurovision 2023 is on. It is 1 month from today. And on May 13th, all eyes will be on Liverpool for the big grand final. They are hosting the extravaganza for Ukraine this year, as you know. And that is what the Eurovision is, really. It is an extravaganza. And no better city than Liverpool to put on the show. Well, of course, Dublin would be mega, of course. But Liverpool, like Dublin, it's a city steeped in music. They love to party. Great gay scene in Liverpool as well. And our very own Graham Norton is billed as a presenter for the night. So that in itself is reason enough to tune in, I reckon. And of course, we'd be keeping our fingers crossed that Ireland will be in that final. Dublin band Wild Youth are flying the flag for us this year. They have to get through the semi-final first. But you know what? I think the song is great. It's getting great traction. It's getting great radio play. It seems to be getting great reaction right across Europe as well. Lead singer Conor O'Donoghue, he has the whole Harry Styles gig going on, the sequin jumpsuits, you know, which wouldn't be conducive to getting stage fright. He's got the chainmail masks. They're all wearing that in the video. So it's good. It's cool. And the message, the title of the song, We Are One, as I said, it's kind of got that positive global vibe for the times that are in it. So let's take a listen. Good, they're bopping outside the window. I'm bopping in here. So yeah, sending all the good vibes to Wild Youth representing Ireland in 1 month's time. Yesterday on the show, we were talking about marriage and if getting married in your early 20s is too young. Because now the average age, I found out yesterday, of getting married in Ireland, 40 for a man and 35 for a woman. And one text that was sent into us yesterday at 51551, which I didn't get to. Catherine, I got married when I was 24 and my now husband was 26. Friends and family thought we were mad. I was surprised by their reactions and how rude some people were when we told them we were engaged. Many asked us straight out if I was pregnant. Others said it wouldn't last to our faces. Oh my God. That we'd feel differently about each other in 10 years' time. Well, we have been married 17 years. We have two kids and we're still going strong. So there you go. You know when you know. Mind you, Rupert Murdoch has a little more trouble in that regard. He's engaged for the fifth time. 92 years of age, and he is all over the place in the papers today after it was revealed he broke up with his fourth wife, Jerry Hall. Beautiful Jerry Hall, I love her. He broke up with her by email. So Vanity Fair have printed it and they've done a big report that said she wasn't actually expecting a thing. She was waiting for him to come home to their home in Oxfordshire, I think it was, and her phone pinged with an email from her husband saying, Jerry, sadly, I've decided to call an end to our marriage. We have certainly had some good times, but I have much to do. My New York lawyer will be contacting yours immediately. And that was it. She was given 30 days to get out of the house. And You know what? The thing is, if you've gone down the Succession rabbit hole, which most of us have, the show is obviously based on Rupert Murdoch, it's not even that shocking that this is real life carry on. Sure, it's not. I mean, to spend 6 years with someone and then just not come home one night and send them an email saying good luck and thanks, like that takes some kahunas. And I mean, what if it went into the junk folder, we were saying, or you could just, like, Jerry could have just deleted it and pretended it never happened. You know, she never got it. And like, what did he write in the subject line? To whom it may concern or urgent? But I know you hear of people being dumped by text or email or WhatsApp. But let me know, has it happened to you? 51551, have you got the dump by DM? Or maybe that was your chosen way to communicate because, you know, you couldn't face the conversation. Let me know. Anyway, he is getting married again this summer, as I said, 92 years of age, which proves it's never too late. And sure, we all know we're living well into our 90s. And it's not going to be unusual for this generation to live to 100 and beyond is what they're saying. And I'm actually working on a new project at the minute where we are looking at how artificial intelligence technology, like this whole 3D imagery of the body, how it can assist consultants and patients in the whole world of medicine and surgery. It is totally mind-blowing. And so this story in The Mirror caught our eye today about how we should be recording the voices of our loved ones. So, you know, recording their voice or recording videos of them. So when they pass away, if you have enough data collected and with the way voice synthesis is going and video modelling is going, that they could essentially stay with us on our phones or our computers forever. I mean, it sounds so far out, but they reckon this is very achievable in the next 2 years. And I was thinking about it today. I was chatting to Grace here in the office. Like, I have some lovely recordings of my Nana on my phone. I just took my phone out one day and I have them in my voice notes. And it was in the nursing home before she passed away. And it's her laughter that is so lovely to hear. And there are days I really need to hear it, you know, and it does pick me up. And I know for a lot of other people, they keep possibly the recording of a message somebody left them or the actual recording of somebody's voicemail. So I don't know. I suppose the whole AI development, it's the next stage of that. And last summer, Amazon developed a new feature for Alexa that would allow users to customize the Alexa voice. So, you know, it would mimic the sound of a family member who had maybe passed away. So I could say, Nana, turn on the radio. And she'd say, turn it on yourself, to be honest. But anyway, let me know what you think. Is it too much to get your head around? Or is that something that might give you a little bit of solace? 51551 or ray@rte.ie. Yes, all this talk about visits. Prince Harry has just confirmed he will be attending his father, King Charles's coronation next month at Westminster Abbey. But he will be flying solo. Meghan is staying at home in California with the two kids. Do you know, I'd say she's delighted. Because there's going to be such a focus on his every move. I mean, will he walk beside his brother? Will there be any sign of crack between them? Any sign of a repair or a union? And I think it's really sad at how separate their lives have become, you know. But anyway, all of that speculation has ended. Prince Harry will be over for that. Any Wordlers still out there? Do you remember how huge Wordle was? Anyone out there still on a Wordle winning streak? I have to say, I gave up on it. But there is a new daily game that you might be interested in if you're any good at numbers. Digits is the new maths equivalent to Wordle. So finally, we've got a game for the maths minded. Definitely won't be me. Created by New York Times in-house games team, Digits is currently testing this game, which means you can play it right now, but it's only going to be around, I think, for the next week. And then they'll take it down and they'll put it all through the system and evaluate it and see will it actually stand up and join Wordle as a New York Times staple. So there you go. If you're into the L numbers, give it a go, but get on it quick and let me know how you go. All right, I think it's time for some tunes, and it's always time for Fleetwood Mac, isn't it? Fleetwood Mac, lots of love coming in for Wild Youth and for the Eurovision. Good luck to Wild Youth in Liverpool. They're in a tough semi-final this year, but they look great. They sound great. I'm a long-time fan and I'm quietly confident that they'll get through. Come on, the lads. Then one on marriage. Catherine, I was married at 19. I remember it like it was yesterday. If it was tomorrow, I wouldn't go. It didn't last. And then a text obviously sent in error that just says, Dad, I'm going to be home around 5:30, so can I finish the last of the chili con carne? I won't chance the rice. I'll give it to the hens and put on a new pot. Love that. Anyway, join me after the break because designer Dee Coleman and builder Peter Finn, the new TV duo from Home Rescue, The Big Fix, they're in for a chat and looking forward to that.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray at rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now joining me in studio is designer Dee Coleman and builder Peter Finn. They are the new TV duo. They've teamed up for the latest series of Home Rescue, The Big Fix, which kicks off tonight, 9:30 on RTE2. You're both very welcome. Great to see you.
Thanks, Catherine.
Peter, I know you, so I'm going to start with Dee.
Well, Peter, that's been happening since this started.
Well, this is six seasons, so this is your baby. Like, you've been on this a while, and I always, when I watch it, I can always really get the passion that you feel real passion for this show, and it means a lot to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, it's a great show. It's a real feel good factor show. So I've been doing it for quite a while now, but the energy is still there, and Dee obviously brought new energy to the show this year. So, you know, it's been a great season, actually. Really looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah. So Dee, how did you find it? How did you find stepping in? Because was that your first kind of foray into TV?
I had never done anything on TV. I'm not even someone who likes taking selfies. So it was a sort of a bizarre segue for me to undertake.
So how did it come about for you?
Well, I'm a member of the Interiors Association, which is the professional body for interior designers. And they sent out an email saying, Coco Content, who make the show, we're looking for someone with interiors experience to join the programme. I thought, I wonder what this entails. So I typed in my application. And then the next thing, I'm getting calls from the producer, Jane, who's very persistent.
Yeah, she is.
And I wasn't actually sure I even wanted to do it. I have my own full-time practice. I have two kids who are only 10 years old. I have, you know, busy life, doing my own house at the moment. You know how it is.
Oh, wow, okay.
So it's a bit manic, but, you know, these things don't come your way very often. And I did a screen test, and that's what solidified it for me. Because I realised that all I had to do was my job and pretend the cameras weren't there.
And did you screen test with himself?
At the end, the tail end. Yeah, I don't think he was convinced, to be honest.
I know, you did okay.
But I mean, it's fair to say, Peter, we're going to talk about you like you're not here for a few minutes.
Yeah, that's work right.
Because for himself, he's no wallflower.
No, he really isn't.
I'm a pushover. Oh.
But I mean, everyone has to have their own opinion. And it's not always builders and designers will see eye to eye, but there has to be a meeting in the middle. But I got to watch the show. I watched it this morning. And there is a great rapport. There's a great energy between you, I have to say.
Well, I have been doing this a very long time, even though it's like my second career design. But I've been doing it a long time, so I do have strong views. And whilst I absolutely respect Pete and his experience and what he knows about TV as well, actually, is very helpful. But I did find that when it came to expressing my opinion on design, I wasn't at all intimidated.
Okay, okay. So let's talk about the show. We've got six houses this year. What can we expect? It's the one tonight, it's a beautiful story.
Yeah, yeah. The one tonight is a really good story, definitely, and it just gets stronger and stronger as the series goes on, being honest with you. And the thing I love about Home Rescue is pretty much every episode, every show, every job that we do is completely different. Mm. It's different design, it's different rooms, obviously different situations in people's lives. So yeah, we've got some really exciting stuff across the whole series, and we start off out in Ballybrack is our first one tonight.
You know? Luke and Amy.
Luke and Amy, yeah.
And I always love, because you're kind of given 5 days to do each house. Mm. That's the time frame. And that's not just TV time.
No,
that is how it runs. So I always get that sense of stress. Well, I always get the sense of stress from you, Peter. You're there morning, noon and night. It's 2 o'clock in the morning and you still have the drill. You still have the drill in your hand. But I mean, why? Obviously, you have to have that time frame to allow the people whose house it is in and out. You have to have it for shooting schedule, but you also have to have a time frame. But it is a tight time frame.
Yeah, it's very tight. And I suppose that's what causes the most stresses between myself and Dee. Because, you know, Dee wants to maximise our time there and wants to, you know, deliver as best the job as she possibly can. But I have to actually physically get it done. So I have to work out my...
So you're saying she's asleep with the eye mask on and you're... No, I'm actually scraping
the wallpaper as well, tragically. Yeah, yeah. But what's interesting about that is, like, he'd lead you to believe that it's all me driving the agenda and I want to do this, that and the other. There's a couple of jobs where I've said, I will get it. I think we have too much on. We'll just do flat pack joinery. There's one job in particular, you know the one I'm talking about, right? And I'm saying, we'll just do flat pack joinery for the TV. And Peter's like... No, we could do a really nice job there.
Yeah, yeah.
But you see, and that's the problem, isn't it? Because I've got my agenda, Peter's got his agenda, and at the end of the day, we have to deliver to a high standard.
Sure.
And we've got 5 days, which I didn't believe, actually. That was the first question I asked Pete when I met him, was, is it really done in 5 days?
And then does that mean when you go back to normal life and you've got your own clients, they're expecting you to deliver in 5 days and people are expecting you to build a house in 5 days?
That gets thrown at me quite a lot. You're able to do it on the telly, but you can't do it here. But no, look, again, I say this quite a lot. I won't start something unless I think I can finish it, because you can't walk away for something half finished. Mm. We don't do, you know... The camera, like, doesn't stop here and then it's all unfinished on that side. What we start, we finish, and we really leave good work behind us. And I think some of the finishes that we left behind this year were exceptional. Now, I really mean, like, we got some very high-end fitted furniture done. We've done some really clever work in really tight spaces, maximising the spaces in bedrooms and things like that as well. So some really, really cool stuff done this year, you know.
What was very apparent on the show tonight... Decluttering. It's something that we've talked a lot about. It's something that we've all kind of embraced, I think, since COVID as well, and something that we've all become more aware of. Mm. And that seems to be the first stage of any project on the series, is actually getting everything out of the house. Mm. And it's not just about it literally is about taking everything out and start again.
Yeah, and if an awful lot of that comes back in, the design is pointless. So, I mean, there is a lot of pressure on Aidan, who's heading up the decluttering this year. And he's very good at what he does. And he and his team are absolutely central to this. Because if a lot of that stuff came back in, there still wouldn't be enough room for it. So the first step in anyone's job, and in fact, in my day job as well, is how much of this stuff is actually essential. Mm. And we only build capacity for storing what's essential. Because if you just chuck it all back in, it's chaos again.
Do you believe, Dee, that is a lot of the problem in most houses? It's not the space and it is not the house. It is actually the amount of stuff that we have.
Yeah, it's the amount of stuff, and it's also the lack of planning that goes into storage in particularly new builds. Mm. So one of the frustrations that I would have, and Jenny, my business partner, is that we would often do work in new builds and you'd expect them to be built around how a family would live, because these are often houses where you would expect a family to be, and you find that there are maybe 4 bathrooms and not enough storage. Mm. And actually 2 bathrooms and more storage would have been more appropriate. Mm. And that's a real frustration. So we have too much stuff. We buy too much stuff. Mm. We also then keep buying storage units to put that stuff in. Mm. So instead of consolidating what we have and actually thinking about it, so what do I want on display? Mm-hmm. What do I need to conceal, and what do I need to have easily to hand? So your car keys, your remote control, that stuff needs to be easy to find. And if you think about those 3 ways, that's really all you should have.
Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just thinking when you're talking there, I mean, Dermot Bannon, what Dermot Bannon loves to do is knock down walls, as we know, right? And I know it seems to have been a thing, open space, bright, airy. Mm. And I live in a house like that, but now... that I have 2 children.
Yeah.
I want to put the walls back up and corral them in this room, and, you know, keep the toys. I've nowhere to put the toys, and you know, because your life evolves and changes.
Absolutely,
and I think that's important when you're working with clients, I'd imagine, as well, from a build
perspective. I built my own house 15 years ago, and again, it was a different way of life back then. And like, I have a lovely open plan house, and now it's just full of, I have 3 girls, 3 kids.
Smith's Toy Store.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And should have got a designer in.
Should have, yeah. There was a warmth to it, but at the same time, you know, there are times where you're like, oh, I wish I had a bit more areas that I conceal stuff. But look, I think, again, what Home Rescue does really well is it takes people's lifestyles, and then Dee, you know, she really designs around what people need or what's been missing out of their lives, or been missing out of the way that the house functions. Mm. And then, like, you know, that's what the designs are based around. We do knock down walls in some houses, not in every house. You know, it depends. Sometimes open plan is what's required, and then sometimes quite the opposite is what's required. So, you know, that's what I love about it. Every show is different, and we get to do something unique in every house.
And I love that you give people back a home. The house yes. becomes a home.
Yes. Yeah.
And I mean, we know the homelessness crisis in this country, as yeah. we know, is so shocking. So to have a home
yeah.
and to have the security of it and to have that roof over your head and to give that love back to people
yeah.
who live in the four walls, it's such a huge... It's such a huge privilege. It's such a huge step.
Yeah, well, look, we all work hard as well. And, you know, I love driving up my driveway and I want to be able to go in and enjoy my home as well. But if you're walking into a home that you either feel is not your own or it's just not functioning for you, it's very frustrating and, you know, you kind of don't want to be there. And again, I think that's what Dee does very well with her designs. She works and thinks around what way a person wants to live and what's going to actually work for them. And sometimes they don't even realise it until you talk it through with them, you know?
Yeah. And also how people are going to live in the future.
Yes.
Yes.
I think that's really important as well. So one of the houses that we've done, there was a two-year-old boy, but he was in the box room and it's tiny and he was never going to be able, there's no money for an extension, they're not going to move house, this is it, this is their house. But so what we had to do was design a room that had sockets in places and an idea of where the desk would go when he's a student, when he's a teenager, where is he going to play his Xbox?
Yeah.
So it's about when you are doing the work, it's about thinking about the future you, your future family and planning for that now.
Yeah, it's so important.
It is, it really
it's
is.
It's so important. So are you ever worried, Dee, like after the 5 days and the guys come back and you open the door? Like that's kind of nerve-wracking because
terrifying.
It's not normally the way a designer works. Like normally you'd go through the process step by step with clients.
Yeah.
Whereas they just hand you the keys and they see you in 5 days.
And then off I go.
Yeah.
There's a bit of a kick to that as well, though. Mm. So the rush of it is that sometimes I feel that if when I'm collaborating very closely with my clients on, in the normal run of things, that sometimes I feel like, oh, I could do much better if you would just be let me do my job. If you would just let me be a bit braver. You know, you see Dermot Bannon often really having that conversation with clients.
Yeah.
And that's a reality. But by the same token, I have no comfort blanket. So I don't know if even I've chosen the colours that they like. Like it is really quite
colours
scary.
Colours is a big thing, isn't it?
Colours is huge.
Because it's, you know, it's such a personal choice, colours, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be totally honest, there's times when Dee has picked out the colours and I'd be going, oh, this is high risk, you know. And you'd be wondering what way it's going to be. But in fairness, when you get the fit out done after the colours, I think that's the key. Because I suppose when we're building, we can like see a big blank wall in a certain colour and it might feel a bit strong. But then when you fit the rooms out, that makes a big difference. But it is high risk, you know. Because literally someone has handed you the keys. Mm. We've gone in and we've done, literally 3 weeks working in 5 days.
Yeah.
And then they're coming in. But I think that's what brings me back to the show every year is the OMG moment. It's that moment when people walk in and, you know, they're just blown away by what they see. And you know what you're delivering for them is huge, you know. Mm.
The key, though, with colour, as far as I'm concerned, is that paint isn't a difficult thing to change. So I'm always keen to be quite brave with colour and to push people beyond their natural comfort zone. So if I think someone likes a bit of an orange lining in their jacket, I might just translate that into an orange wall, you know, and just push it that little bit further than, and I can see it and the decorators are going, and everyone's going, and I'm like, oh God. And then I get the wobbles at
but
11
but
o'clock.
You kind of go, we can change it if we need to.
Well, we can change it in the real world, but not in home rescue.
I have
to get it right in home rescue. And this is these people's home and they're trusting me. So it does have that added edge of jeopardy.
Yeah. I love it. I think it was... I did 6 blues in the sitting room until I got the right one. My husband was going to divorce me.
Are you happy with it now, though?
I'm happy with it now. Well, I've painted everything white since COVID.
Oh.
I was all dark and moody and then I just went, the whole place is white. I just needed that.
Yeah.
I have to talk to you about zoning your spaces. It sounds like you need some zoning.
I need zoning in all areas of my life, to be honest.
Some boundaries.
So for people who are listening in there very quickly, who may be feeling a little overwhelmed in the home, maybe just like I said, you just need a whole change. You need to change. Where should people start? What are the simple things that people could look at, maybe, Peter?
Yeah, well look, I think people should just think about their lives and think, what do they enjoy doing, and have a sort of stop and have a think about what do they not enjoy about their home and start there. You know, an awful lot of people are bringing the outside of their house to the inside now. COVID started that. You see people doing kind of like outside cooking areas and stuff like that, and outside areas where you can, you know, host little parties and things like that. So that's something something that I see a lot of and a lot of trends. And fitted furniture is the other thing that I see a lot happening, where you can have a dual function for maybe some storage, but also you can convert it into maybe a study area or something like that as well. Mm. But it's really every the way people use their homes is different.
DIY has become a big thing as well. Everybody sort of turning their hands to
I love that.
A little bit of
brilliant.
Tiling or
friends
of mine actually, they ran out of money and essentially finished their house watching YouTube videos. I'm not even joking.
Yeah. Well, there's some brilliant ones out there, and I highly recommend people do, you know, have a go at DIY because it's excellent. Like the crack that you can have while you're doing a bit of work together and the job satisfaction, and do it with a partner, do it with your kids, you know, really, really go for it and enjoy it. Start off small though. Don't be going trying to rewire your house or do a lot of plumbing. You
leave
know
that
I mean?
To the experts.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay. Any advice, please? White or grey for a sitting room? I want to dress the place up before I sell it.
Oh, now before you sell it is a bit different to if you're living in it. Yeah. So you want to go fairly neutral. So I would go a light warm grey or a white. But I think a warm grey with white woodwork is probably better because the grey will look like more of a colour.
OK. Peter, I think this one is for you. Can you ask them for their advice on a renovation? My husband wants to do up 3 rooms, but I can't face 6 months of turmoil in the house. Is there a way to guarantee that a renovation can be sped up? Yes, there is. Get you guys in for 5 days.
Get us in for 5 days. Yeah. No, look, take it room by room. If you're living in the home and it's our husband that's doing it, don't wreck the 3 rooms together at the same time. It would be my advice on that one. So take it room by room.
Okay. And it sounds like she just wants to get the professionals.
Yeah, it does really. I think you're looking for a way out there.
What trends are we seeing very quickly, Dee, in terms of is there anything that we should be following? Or are you not a follower of trends?
I'm personally not a follower of trends. Having said that, one of the things I do like that I'm seeing at the moment is that people are bringing their own personalities back to their homes. Mm. So everyone was copying and doing grey and layering and text, but now it's coming back to individual personality. No more grey, I think. I think grey is on the way out. It'll always be there to an extent, but I think we're looking at earthy colours, oranges, browns, those sorts of colours are really coming in, greens and blues.
Okay, okay. Peter, you were talking about the benefit of apprenticeships recently.
Yeah.
They can be great, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think a life in construction is viewed the wrong way. I think people always picture somebody out on the cold mixing cement and that's their life. That's not the case. I mean, if you get an apprenticeship and you get a trade, you know, it's a qualification that you have for the rest of your life. And it's a qualification that you get paid to educate yourself on. So you're getting paid each week as you're learning your trade. You know, it's obviously a ticket to travel and all those type of things as well. So I really recommend that people do it. But also, you don't just stop there. You can upskill, you can go into like the technology in construction has gone off the scale. So if you get a trade and you can still upskill, you can move into management levels, you can move into the technology side of construction. Construction is the world of construction is massive. It's huge. It's not just laying blocks and doing carpentry. Like there's so much more to it. And I certainly think that it's certainly looked upon in the wrong way at the moment. And I really do think that there should be more of a push towards people learning more trades. And look, at the moment there's a huge shortage in labour force in construction. So I would really advocate anybody who enjoys working with their hands to give it a go.
And what about all those following the TikTok videos?
Well, TikTok is good. I do a few TikToks myself.
You do?
Yeah, no, look, again, TikTok is a really condensed version of a project, and sometimes it can be cleverly presented, but you can learn off them and you can see some really cool stuff on it.
Dee, I have to ask you, did you watch him on Ultimate Hell Week?
I did.
Did you?
I did.
He was very impressive, wasn't
he? Very, and a little bit scary.
Do people look at you differently now, Pete, when you knock on the door to do a job? Like, do you get more respect from the, from the man of the house? Or do you get a little wink and a nod?
Yeah, I know. Look, I think, you know, anybody...
Exactly.
Anybody that gets onto the bus, as we say, and goes into Hell Week deserves a lot of credit. It was an amazing experience. I loved it. I actually really enjoyed it in a weird way. But apart from that walk at the end, that wasn't enjoyable at all. But no, look, Ultimate Hell Week was an amazing experience. I'm delighted I got to do it.
Brilliant. Well, listen, lovely to meet you guys.
And
good luck with the series. It starts tonight, 9:30 on RTE2. That's Home Rescue, The Big Fix.
Thanks,
back
Catherine.
After this.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Just as she was skipping out the door there, I put this question to Dee. Could I ask Dee what colour paint and accessories would go with two pale grey sofas? And she just shouted back to me, pale lemon. So maybe that will help you out. We were talking about getting married young. Catherine, when I married my wife, I was 21. She was 20. We're 40 years married last January. 4 children, 7 grandkids. The trick is to keep your expectations real, appreciate the good things, accept the bad things, and remember to have a laugh. And that comes in from Rob. Catherine, Rupert Murdoch has reportedly called off his most recent engagement. Yeah, somebody said that to me just during the break as well, just weeks after announcing it. I think he got engaged on St. Patrick's Day and it's all off already. Another one bites the dust. Wonder, did she get an email? Wonders one listener. Being dumped by email ain't that bad these days. There's so much ghosting going on. I met a lad 4 times and vamoose, he was gone. At least with an email, you get an explanation. And then Bernie says, I love Wordle, Catherine. I've been doing it almost daily for the longest time. My best is second guess on numerous occasions and also third guess. Love the challenge and also timing myself to see how fast I can do it. Would try the maths one. Would you try the maths one, Bernie? I wonder. Let me know. 51551. All right, let's get a bit of James Vincent McMorrow. That is me and my friends there, James Vincent McMorrow. That is a good tune. Now, speaking of good things, carpool karaoke. Was there anything better? This month, comedian James Corden wraps up his 8-year stint on The Late Late Show. And of course, it has been a massive success for the British actor and comedian. And it's no mean feat to break the United States. I know he's had a little fall from grace recently. Big name guests were always a part of the show. And one of the things that really put the show on the map was carpool karaoke, which saw countless stars hop into the car with James and sing their biggest hits. I mean, such a simple idea, but so good. How did it all come together and why did it hit the mark? Joining us to chat about that is journalist and broadcaster Conor Behan. Good to see you, my friend.
You
how you doing?
How are you?
Good, good. So were you a fan? Are you a fan?
I have to say, carpool karaoke as a piece of like viral internet magic is kind of hard to beat. Like, it reminds me of a time when all those American talk shows were in an arms race to have the biggest YouTube success as well as being big on American telly. Because for us outside of the US, that's how we get to know those programs, and what Jimmy Fallon does versus Seth Meyers is through all the clips on YouTube. You can watch some of them on telly here, but like really, we're watching them through YouTube. So like, you couldn't beat carpool karaoke for when it was at its peak. The people they were getting on was mental. To think it's been 8 years of it is wild, actually.
And it, you know, talk to us about how it started.
Yeah.
Because it was a Gavin and Stacey?
Kind of. So obviously he took over the Late Late Show, which is a different show to the one we know around here at the moment. Just give people what the hell. So that happened in 2015. And that same month, he debuted a segment Mariah Carey of a program called Carpool Karaoke, which had its roots in a sketch he did with his Gavin and Stacey character, Smithy, with George Michael back in 2011 for Comic Relief, which was a huge thing over here and in the UK at the time. And apparently when they were pitching it to celebrities at the time in the US in 2015, no one really got it. No one wanted to do it. But Mariah Carey saw the George Michael thing and thought, I'll give that a go. And to Mariah's credit, she kind of kickstarted the whole thing. We actually have a clip of her appearance on the first ever Carpool Karaoke back in 2015.
I had a vision of love, and it was all that you've given to me.
Thirsty.
Someone's getting thirsty.
It's so good. And you know what? Because she had such a reputation
of
being such, like a diva. And yet you just get a real sense of her having the crack there, you know?
And I think that is why it took off. And when you watch that one now, it does seem a bit more lo-fi compared to other carpool karaoke's, like, as in they don't quite edit it and shoot it as glamorously as they do now. But it, the bones of it were there. And fair play to Mariah for taking a chance, because no other star seemed to want to do it.
That, so who else was in the first run?
So that first run in 2015, you got 2 Justin Bieber segments. Both were massive online. One Direction were still together, so they did it before Harry Styles and Noel Horan had their own run later on. Rod Stewart did one where A$AP Rocky appeared. Then you got Jennifer Hudson and Stevie Wonder. So really, when you think about pop music in 2015, that was like, you know, the biggest boy bands and pop stars, and you had like R&B and rap icons in there as well. So a bit of everything, really. It's such a flexible format. I think it allows for really funny stuff to happen.
And when you think about it, the sales pitch is you are just you, right?
Yeah,
so you're sitting
there
with him, but you get the opportunity to showcase your talent. There's no, which a lot
gimmicks,
of, no gimmicks, which a lot of the artists really would, you know, they're not used to that. It's all production and it's all studio.
Yeah.
And this is just stripped back and fun, you know?
I think that's why it became so big online kind of instantly. Like some of those early key carpool characters. Justin Bieber ones have hundreds of millions of views. Like Adele, who we'll talk about in a little bit, like she has over 260 million on her one. Like,
and 260 million.
And that's just one video. And this is like a big competitive thing. If you think about Lip Sync Battle, which ran on telly for years, that was spun out of an item on The Tonight Show, Jimmy Fallon. So these viral segments keep shows on air and they keep the buzz going, and it's why stars go back, because like, well, I know I'll get amazing press if I hop in the car with James for a few hours on a random Tuesday, and then they put it up on the show the next week, you know. It's a win-win, as you say, for anyone who is willing to give it a go.
Well, let's actually go back to Adele, because the format, it just really suited her.
Yeah,
she gets the vibe, and
she's
funny, and the two of them together.
Yeah. And it was filmed in London, so this is in 2016. So I think Hello is out. It's a massive hit for Adele. She's, in a way, she kind of disappears for years, comes back, charms us all again because she's so gas. So Adele Carpool Karaoke, that is probably one of the best ones I've ever done.
Hello, it's me. I was wondering if after all these years you'd like to meet. So hello from the outside. At least I can see that I'm trying to tell you I'm sorry for breaking your heart, but it don't matter. The living doesn't tear you apart anymore.
We should recreate that.
We
Come
should.
On, straight into news. Just give it a go. I mean, I do laugh because James Corden loves to try and sing or out-sing the guests, which sometimes I'm like...
And he's a good voice.
I know you can sing. I know you're on Broadway and all that, but like, let's not try and out-do Adele. Like, it always makes you go, James, James.
But am I right in saying she also, she did her own stuff in that, but she also did a little bit of Spice Girls.
Yeah, she did a Nicki Minaj verse from the Kanye West song Monster, which is like a that video of her doing that goes viral all the time. People just reach out, remember this, because it's just one of those perennial favourites online. I mean, you got BTS, Selena Gomez, we mentioned Justin Bieber. Like, they've all had over 100 million hits on their videos for Carpool Karaoke. And also as well, it's a new way to do an interview, right? Because celebs are doing these press junkets, being asked the same five questions all the time. But Carpool Karaoke at its best sneaks in these kind of chats that you might not get elsewhere. When Britney did it in 2016, she was a little bit guarded, but she had a bit of a laugh with it. Katy Perry was on it a few years ago, spoke about her then feud with Taylor Swift. I think one of the funniest moments they've ever done was when J-Lo was on a few years ago. And James said, give me your phone. I want to see who's in Jennifer Lopez's phone. He was going through the names. He noticed Leonardo DiCaprio was there and decided to send a text to Leo, pretending to be Jennifer, saying, hey, baby, I'm kind of feeling like I need to cut loose. Any suggestions? Let me know. J-Lo, you know, from the block. Sends a text. They go back to singing. And then we find out later on what happened when Leo saw the message.
Tonight we gon' be it on the floor.
Not. Well, right, what's he said?
He said, you mean tonight, boo-boo, club-wise? Here's the funny part, is that he actually thinks I'm serious.
I love that he wants you to cut loose.
I don't.
Club-wise.
Oh, so good.
And obviously you can't see it on the radio, but when he sends that, they hold the phone up to the camera and go, look, and you can see the message on her phone gone to him. And she's like, I would never say that on a text message. So I mean, fair play to J-Lo for handing her phone over. I would certainly not give her someone I didn't know my phone to send someone a text.
Absolutely not.
No,
I always
way.
Get a great vibe from her. I'd love a night out with her.
Same.
You know, I think she's just the crack.
And I was watching that thinking, this makes you come across, you mentioned earlier that Mariah had a reputation as a diva, and I think if you're in any way either sound or able to pretend to be sound, it's the perfect item for you. I mean, like, I was rewatching the Madonna one yesterday and she's having a bit of a crack with him, but she also kind of takes the mick out of Jane. She says, oh, you know, you're a nice guy, but I'm not sure about the shirt you're wearing. He's like, oh, I thought it was a lovely shirt. You know, he shared his kiss with Harry Styles, who's he's friends with. Like, it's just a way for celebs to let their guard down. I guess they trust James Corden, which speaks to his skill as an interviewer.
Completely. And we can't not mention First Lady at the time, Michelle Obama. The president, obviously, is here.
Yeah, it's what timing, yes, of course. Maybe Joe will do Carpool Karaoke with us after this. Yeah, Michelle Obama did one a few years ago. Missy Elliott appeared. So, like, you just kind of don't know what to expect with. And I think in the world of like things going viral, that is what gets people, oh my God, did you see the moment when X happened? So that's why Carpool Karaoke has stuck around.
So who's been on recent editions, and does it go as viral?
It has not been as big, I think, in the last couple of years. I think partly because they would have had to take a break during COVID because you could hardly throw a celeb in James Corden in a car at the peak of the pandemic. Not quite as visually appealing. And the most recent one was Lil Nas X, the American rapper. He popped up on it a few weeks ago. That's shy of like a million views on YouTube. We'll probably hit that, I'm sure, in the next few days. Lizzo popped up 9 months ago. That has 6.5 million. And one that kind of got some headlines last year was Nicki Minaj, who did like a run through of some of her biggest hits last year. But again, that has about 10 million. So those are not small numbers. No. But when you compare to 260 million for Adele or 100 for One Direction, it has waned a small bit. But I mean, Lizzo doing About Damn Time with James Corden, I mean, that's good crack. I've been through a lot, but I'm still flirting. Is everybody back up in the building? It's been a minute, tell me how you're feeling. Cause I'm about to get into my feelings. How you feeling? How you feel right now? Turn up the music. Turn down the lights.
Oh,
just you were ready. You see, this is why it works, because you're like, I too, I'm in the car with them.
And there's been a spin-off series too, hasn't there?
Yeah, so this is a thing, much like a lip sync battle, it's been turned into a TV series of its own. In 2017, Carpool Karaoke, the series, debuted on Apple Music, and it's similar formats. A celebrity guest shares a carpool ride with a musical act. James Corden was in the first episode, but then it was other names like Shakira and Sheryl Crow and Snoop Dogg among some of the many stars that have popped up. So that's now on Apple TV Plus as of 2021. They started a fifth season of that in 2022, which has just come back for new episodes. In fact, the most recent episode, which is the 67th one, features Brian Cox of now Succession fame and Alan Cumming having a Spice Girls sing along that has to be, has to be heard to be believed.
I'm a closet Spice Girls fan.
I have not heard that. Timing is an issue there, boys.
You're like, musically, I enjoyed the passion. Can't confirm if Brian Cox went to the Spice Girls reunion tour, but you know, there, if you're watching Succession, you were not expecting to hear that today.
That is brilliant. What other unlikely stars have cropped up over the years as well?
There's been so many. I do think having Paul McCartney do both the Beatles stuff on his own, and I think we have a clip of him doing Penny Lane, that was truly one for the books as well.
Of every head he's had the pleasure to know, and all the people that come and go, stop and say hello.
Hello.
Hello. Penny Lane is in my ears and in my eyes.
That is brilliant.
Isn't it mad, the eclecticness too? Like Lizzo, Paul McCartney, such a mix of people.
Exactly, exactly. Oh, I so enjoyed that, I have to say. So do we know what's next for Carpool Karaoke and for James Corden? Because when he steps down from the Late Late Show, is that it? Or has he kind of come out and said?
So the Late Late Show, the American version, that's wrapping up when he finishes. They're replacing with a different kind of talk show format, a different show altogether. He has said he wants to take a break from working nonstop, but wants to maybe try and get onto a Broadway show in the next year or two, because obviously he has history in the theatre world as well. From what I can tell, the spin-off show is going to keep going as well. I mean, you never know, maybe he'll take that format and go elsewhere. Like James Corden has popped up in a lot of acting gigs on the side, so I don't think he's going anywhere, but he seems to want to get out of the talk show rat race, at least for now.
And he's got his own production company in
London.
Yeah,
and
a lot of creative stuff.
Friends reunion together. So like, he's got his finger in a lot of pies. I'm not worried about James.
No,
maybe he's thrilled. We don't have to
lose sleep
right.
over him. Carbian, it has been a pleasure. And what a lovely little journey that was.
Thank you so much.
Got in the car.
Thank you.
Thanks a million. Back after this.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Oh, I have to say, I really enjoyed reliving all those carpool karaoke moments. And Connor was saying they're just there. You can watch them on YouTube. And yeah, just a great little simple format that worked so well and really struck a chord. Lots of texts coming in here. Anne in Kinsealy says, oh, yeah, we were talking about recording your loved one's voices and how it's potentially going to the next level with AI technology and all of that. But she said, Catherine, it's definitely a great idea to record your loved one's voices. I have a few recordings of my husband's voice on phone videos, etc. They're so precious. He died in 2017 in December, age 60. Occasionally friends will send clips and I love it. I wish I had actually taped some conversations. We met at 18, married at 23. It would have been our 43rd wedding anniversary last Tuesday. Great years with loads of memories packed in. We survived bad times and made the most of the good ones. As my mom said, life is for living and you don't get out of it alive. And I wish I had a recording of my mom's voice. And as I said, that comes in from Anne. Thank you. That was a gorgeous message, Anne. We were talking with Dee and Peter Finn from Home Rescue about clutter. Completely agree about clutter. It's consumerism has done this so much easier to buy than throw away. And somebody says, in terms of carpool karaoke, they should do that in Ireland. Imagine Dermot Bannon singing along with Dustin in the back of the Ford Cortina. There you go. That has potential written all over it. Anyway, Anish, Tosha and I am the Príomh Scéal to the Nanuakta le Marian ni Hulawan. Gurumahagut, Marian. Loads of Wordle fans still doing the rounds. Hi, Catherine. Regarding the numbers version of Wordle, there's another number versions out there. It's called Nerdle. There's also a movie one called Framed. The music one is Hurdle. So you have 70s Hurdle, 80s Hurdle. It's a whole new world. Okay, we were chatting about Lizzo, or we heard Lizzo a little earlier on, and we just got a snippet, but she always deserves the full run out, doesn't she? That is the wonderful Lizzo. Always lovely to hear her. Personal trainer and host of the Real Health podcast, Carl Henry, has joined me for a chat about getting the most out of the nice weather outside today and some light exercises and breathing well, of all things. Carl, good to chat to you.
Catherine, hola from West Cork.
Hola. What's the weather doing in West Cork?
Well, I'd say the storm has cleared. We had a gusty two or three days. I won't lie, but it's got a sunshine and a bit of blue skies today, which is nice. Thank God.
Oh, nice. So all good down there. You're keeping well.
Yeah, all is great. Yeah, recovering obviously after Operation Transformation. There's always a couple of weeks afterwards that we all take a deep breath and recover a little bit. But all is great. Really busy, thankfully. And yeah, everyone's kind of, it's a great time for health and wellness now. The Easter Bunny has come and gone and people are really focused on the summer and feeling good and kind of spring ready, which is great, you know.
And I do think that, I mean, everybody sort of jumps on the bandwagon and gets going for January. But if you haven't, I always think this is a really, like you're saying, because the evenings are longer, the weather is better. And it just feels that there's that sort of freshness in the air and it feels like you can, you know, turn over a new leaf or get started.
Yeah, being like just light on its own, like we're talking about health and wellness today, just that extra bit of light in the evening times makes such a difference to people's mood, mental health, physical health, just general health, you know, and it's a really good time for people. You know, it's spring for a reason, that spring clean concept, but also that spring into action about getting more active, getting fitter. It's a lovely, lovely time to do all of that because it's just the weather's better and you're in better form and you feel better, you know. So it's a lovely time. It's a lovely time to do it.
So on the podcast this morning, you're talking about breathing, which kind of sounds funny because it's something that we all do without thinking about it. But there are so many studies into the psychological benefits as well as the physical impacts of proper breathing. So you had a breathing expert on the podcast this morning. Tell us about that.
We did. It's a fascinating topic, right? Because it's something we automatically do. You don't really think about it, but actually, we've done breathing before. We James Nestor on from the States, and we Patrick McKeown on this week. And like that, he was saying we don't think about it, but actually, we kind of don't do it correctly. The big switch is to nasal breathing, getting people to breathe through their nose and stop breathing through their mouth, and that's the simplest switch. And it's also a kind of a shallow, gentle breathing as opposed to that kind of deep, you know, inhalation and exhalation. They seem to be the ways to deliver the maximum benefits. And all the breathing experts now are saying we should, you know, exercise through nasal breathing. We should sleep through nasal breathing. I tell you, Patrick brought in these, they're mouth strips, right? So you put them on when you go to bed and they stop you from breathing through your mouth and they force you to nasal breathe. And
okay, hold on, reverse really there for a second. So where does the mouth strip go? It
literally goes over your mouth.
It's like sellotape.
It's kind of like sellotape, yeah. Really, because, you know, I love to try things and I'm always interested in seeing what science is going to bring us and, what, and when it comes to health, what, you know, what's, how we can be that bit healthier. So I said, okay, well, I'll try it. And my producer, her boyfriend tried it, and within a couple of days, he's now stopped snoring.
Oh my God, where do I get these things? I need them.
I've never heard of them. I'm not sure where you get them. If you Google them, you'll find it. But like, it is really interesting. It feels very odd initially, but again, it's getting into nasal breathe and the benefits of nasal breathing. And the time and time again, no matter who we talk to who in the breathing world, the performance benefits, the health benefits from just breathing through your nose are absolutely huge. So even for people listening in, try it while you and I are chatting. Just try and breathe through your nose and just focus on, you know, closing your mouth. It takes a little bit of practice, but once you get into it, it makes a big, big difference. And I've used it now while running and while training and found it really beneficial. But the snoring one from my producer's boyfriend was within a week. It was phenomenal. I couldn't get over that.
Wow. And I'm actually doing the nasal breathing myself. I think what will surprise a lot of people is because we're so used to hearing about the benefits of deep breathing, but you're saying it's light breathing through the nose is where we should be at.
Yeah, and you know, from I suppose it's Patrick who is promoting it, and he's basically saying that gentle breathing, the shallower breathing, just gentle breathing in, it's an easier way to get it into nasal breathing. Mm. That deep breath is fine, but it does push the body into somewhat of a fight or flight response. Mm. So a lot of the new research is saying just gentle breathing, nice and relaxed, breathing in, breathing out. But nasal breathing is the key component of that, and switching your mindset from breathing through your mouth to breathing through your nose. And it's a very simple switch. It just takes a little bit of getting used to. And, you know, the benefits from science are saying time and time again, this is the way to breathe.
Mm. And it's a big part of yoga practice as well, where you cover your left nostril for a sequence of breaths and breathe through your right and then change. And I know that's a big part of yoga practice, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, it's a big, like, even if I'm doing a race or if I'm running or cycling or whatever, and you're beginning to push your body, if you pull your focus directly into your breathing and you pull it into kind of breathing in and breathing out, you relax, your heart rate drops by a couple of beats, you feel more in control. And it's very much about that kind of controlled element. And people who are listening in who are beginning to run, and we see it with Operation Transformation every year, people struggle with the breathing because it's out of control. But once you focus on it and it becomes a mindful thing, you gain control of your breathing, your heart rate slows down, and all of a sudden you're running and breathing really well at the same time. So it is that conscious awareness of breathing. But the big switch is nasal. Just really try and do it and just see what happens over the course of a couple of days, because it's such a simple switch, but it's being mindful of it and being aware of it. And that helps to bring your heart rate down as well. That sense of awareness is about what you're doing. It becomes a very mindful kind of experience.
Okay. Well, let's just get into exercise and how we can kind of help build motivation, because we already have a lot of texts coming in for you here with questions, which I'm going to try and get to as well.
Great.
But I suppose, like, what would you recommend to start building motivation?
So motivation all comes back to the really important question. And that question is why? Why do you want to get fit? Why do you want to get healthier? Why do you want to do something? And once you find that, everything else becomes a whole lot easier. So from a motivation perspective, that's the question to ask yourself. Why do I want to do it? You know, like, people who are getting married are fantastic examples of this, because they have the big day in their mind. They will exercise. They'll eat really healthy. They're very motivated because they have a very definite point in time to work towards. Marathon runners are very, very similar. For some people, it's a holiday. For other people, I was chatting to someone last week who was saying his why is to walk his daughter down the aisle. Mm. His daughter is like 9 months old, but it's his why long term for the rest of his life to keep himself healthy and to keep himself motivated. Like, they're very strong, definite kind of reasons to be motivated. And once you find that, the other key thing is about measuring some aspect of your health. So you know why you want to do it. Now you have to measure something. And it can be the speed that you walk at. It can be your waistline. It can be your weight. It can be inches. It can be whatever works for you to measure. But by tracking it and tracking it on a regular basis, that's important, because you see the progress, you see the changes, but the numbers are kind of backing up the changes that you're feeling. And that helps to keep you motivated and focused as well. And then the final tip is to surround yourself with exercise and health and wellness that you enjoy. Because life is too short to be miserable and to do things that you don't. So from a food perspective, from a movement perspective, make it fun, make it enjoyable, make it balanced. Stop trying to do things that you don't like to do, because they're not going to last. Mm. And, you know, life is too short to do all that. Make it enjoyable, make it fun, do things that you like to do, but just track your progress and always in the back of your mind have that reasoning in terms of why you want to do it, why it's important, and why you're going to stay on track and work towards those goals that you're setting.
And I mean, for me, I always love having an event to work towards as well.
Yeah.
I know the Dublin Race Series is in full swing as well. Kicking off the Great Ireland Run is in the Phoenix Park on Sunday. But having something to work towards is a good one as well, isn't it?
Oh, it's brilliant. It could be a race, it could be a holiday, it could be an item of clothing, something that's very tangible. That's really important. And it doesn't have to be a run, it can be a walk, it can be a charity event, it can be a cycle, like the Ring of Bearer cycle is on, Ring of Kerry is coming up, Wicklow 200 or the Wicklow 100, there's loads of events coming up, all the Gale Force events are kicking in too. So, you know, it's a nice time of year to think, well, what would I like to do?
Mm.
And, you know, why not choose something a little bit quirky, a little bit different, push yourself out of your comfort zone and make it new. And like, that's something myself, like I've been in health and wellness for over 20 years at this stage. And every year I try and pick something different and something new and something I haven't done before, because it makes it interesting, it makes it engaging. And you're learning all the time. So like, I've done endurance events before, runs and cycles and Ironmans and stuff. And this year I'm doing some endurance swimming event in West Cork in July. I've never done it. It's something I haven't done. And it's new and it's really exciting and it's really interesting. So if you're listening and thinking of doing something, try something different. Don't do the same old safe thing. Just try something new and exciting and just have a go.
Cool. Okay, let's get to some of the texts coming in from our listeners. I remember Carl saying before not to be too harsh with limiting treats. What's his rule? Is it one treat a day or one treat a week or what? Where do I go?
That's a great question. Okay, that pulls back to the 80-20 rule, where 80% of the time you eat healthily and then 20% of the time you have, I call it them treats, or you have something that you know is a bit, you know, is kind of, you should have it sparingly. It depends on the person whether that's one a day, and it also depends on you know, what the treat food is, or whether it's once a week. If it's like a takeaway or something like that, you say once a week. If it's like a small piece of chocolate, once a day is absolutely fine. So it kind of depends on what that treat may be, whether you have it on a weekly basis or a daily basis. But it is important to be balanced, because that's wellness. That's real wellness. It's living as you can live for the next 5, 10, 15 years. It's not a short-term quick fix where you eliminate things. So it's a great question.
Okay, when you are talking about getting outside, getting moving, can you give us a couple of exercises that we can all do at home to limber up?
Great question. So first of all, you know, it's important to differentiate between exercise and movement. So movement is general daily movement. It's low intensity. Exercise is moderate intensity and above. So what I mean by that is you should be slightly out of breath when you're doing the exercise. And that's what kind of the difference between movement and exercise. And it's important to do that. A very simple one will be when you're on the couch tonight, get up and down off the couch without using your arms. Try that. And it's actually surprisingly difficult for a lot of people, because naturally you get to kind of stand up and you use your hands to push you. If you can go up and down for the course of the ab break, that's a squat. So you tap your bum off the chair, stand back up, bum off the chair, stand back up. Really brilliant exercise, great for your legs. You can try a straight arm plank, which is a press up position, holding on the floor, arms are straight under your shoulders. You hold for as long as you can. You can try a ski squat, your back is against the wall, your feet are out in front. You'll see it on Ireland's Fittest Families all the time, where they do it for like 5 minutes. It's brilliant. That's a really great exercise to do at home. And then the classic stuff, so, you know, lunges, press ups, the cardio aspect. You can skip on the spot, you can jog on the spot, or also just use what's around the house. So like the stairs, for example, are a fantastic exercise. Housework is fantastic exercise. Gardening, especially this time of year, is amazing exercise. It's about using the body. And as we get older, it's use it or lose it when it comes to muscle mass. And we need to keep our muscle mass. So, get working in some respect, you know, get working out, but also stay active over the course of the day. And even simple things like parking the car further away when you go to do the shopping. If you're traveling, I know you travel a lot, Catherine, using the stairs as opposed to using the lifts or using the escalators, all really easy ways to get more movement in. And then try to add some resistance exercises, just like the ones we've spoken about there, over the course of the week. They will make a massive difference. And Irish people, they don't do enough of it. And it's one of the reasons that we age the way we do. We get weaker as we get older because we don't do enough strength-based training and resistance training. And that aging component is really important for wellness, to age healthier and to age better.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we were chatting about earlier, people living to 90 and 100. But there's no point in living that long if you don't have that mobility.
Well, yeah, there's a quality of life component to it. And that's going to come back to how strong you are. Like we tested on Operation Transformation this year with our balance test. How long can you stand on one leg for? Simple. But we know that by being stronger, you balance for longer, and we can predict how you're going to age over the course of your lifespan. So that strength is crucial. Use it or lose it. So use it as much as you can during the day.
And listen, now that I'm chatting to you on air today, I really just want to take a minute to pay our respects really to Mary Diamond, who was our Operation Transformation leader in 2018, who sadly passed away on Monday. We were texting last night, but to Joe, I was chatting to Joe yesterday, and it's sad, you know, she battled a long time, but just to give a shout out to Joe and to Gary and to Robbie and to Paul. She was a great Operation Transformation leader, wasn't she?
Oh, she was amazing. And she really was. And it's so sad from that year, you know, she's our second leader from that year to pass away. Sarah obviously passed away as well. And it's just so sad. She was an amazing woman. I remember being up in her house a couple of times over the course of the show. And she was just life. She was just full of energy, and it's very sad. And we were all texting and chatting last night when we heard the news, and it's terribly sad. It really, really is. You know, it makes you kind of cherish every day that we have, because it's you know, life is short.
That's it. She was a diamond, as they say, and I know there'll be a big turnout in Kilchimoff for her. But listen, Carl, lovely chatting to you as always. Mind yourself, and we'll catch up again soon.
You too. Thanks, Catherine.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
The wonderful Prince there. I was chatting to Carl Henry before the break about breathing properly and the benefits of it. And a huge amount of text in from listeners talking about problems breathing since COVID. And Lisa says breathlessness is a big issue for me post-COVID. Relearning to breathe is very difficult, but it has really helped. Thanks for discussing. And then Claire says nasal breathing is used in yoga all the time. Those ancient yogis knew their stuff. They certainly did. Okay, yesterday on the show, we mentioned moths. I was chatting to cleaning guru Laura DeBarro. And she was talking about moths and moths getting into your clothes. And we thought, what better man to chat about the insects that will soon be back in our lives now that spring has finally sprung than Collie Ennis. And Collie is the Zoology Research Associate at Trinity College Dublin. Lovely to chat to you again, my friend. How are you?
Good. And yourself?
Yeah, good, good, good. So let's get straight into it, because some people do have an aversion to moths, don't they?
Yeah, big time. I suppose it's one of those things with insects in general and arthropods in general, be it spiders, slugs, moths, whatever floats your boat when it comes to freaking people out. And I suppose that goes back to our ancient ancestors, who would have generally avoided these creatures because, you know, you could get bit or you could catch a disease off them. So I think it stems back from that.
Mm-mm. Like, they are amazing creatures. I mean, when I think of moths, I think of The Silence of the Lambs, you know, the movie. But they come from the same family as the butterfly, right?
They do indeed, yes. They're very closely related to butterflies. The only way you can tell them apart, because there's a grey area between moths and butterflies, so a great way of telling them apart, you know, for the average person, is a moth will have feathery antennae, you know, the things that stick out of their head. So, and a butterfly will have very straight antennae with a little ball at the end of them. So that's a really good way of spotting them. Now, moths don't only come out at night. Some of them come out during the daytime as well. So that can be a bit of confusion as well. But there is a kind of grey area, but most moths will come out at night.
Okay. And I know there's a slight delay on the line, Collie, so apologies about that. But why do they like to come inside? Because that's what we were talking about yesterday.
So the moths you find inside are either grain moths or they're the common house moth, the clothes moths. And they come inside because basically we're providing food for them. Now, the clothes moths in nature would nest and breed in and around birds' nests on tufts of fur. So they're basically eating that kind of material. Now, when you have material for your clothes made out of similar material like wood or wool, I mean, not wood, but wool, that's what they're in to eat. And they'll lay their eggs on your clothes. They'll hatch out into tiny little maggot-like larvae and they'll munch away. And clothes moths aren't like your regular moths. They're not attracted to light. They actually kind of hide away from it. So they'll be unnoticed in your house or in your wardrobe for a very long time and can do significant damage. And not only that, if some of these moths very closely related to the clothes moth, if they were to get into the likes of our natural history museums or something like that, they can do incredible damage to very valuable collections like the animals that are on display or even in libraries eating old books.
Yeah.
So, one to watch out for.
Okay. And, you know, we know there's a lot of insects that are so beneficial for biodiversity. Where do moths fit in there?
Yeah, so moths are fantastic for biodiversity. First and foremost, they're really, really good pollinators and they don't get enough credit for being pollinators. There's been recent studies done about, you know, the blackberries you pick in September on the side of the road. The moths, the micro moths, really, really important for pollinating them. They've got those furry bodies, so they pick up the pollen as they're going around at night, moving from flower to flower, and they do just as good work, Trojan work, like our bees do. Apart from that, then, they provide food for all the other charming animals that we love, from frogs to bats and so on and so forth. So really, really important animals in our food web.
Okay, and I know you won't like this, but is there a good repellent to keep them away?
it's difficult to really keep them away, especially the likes of the small moths. Once they get established in your house, you're better off kind of getting those. There are little traps, like chemical traps, that will attract them in to get them out. And normally I wouldn't, promote killing insects, but you know, if you're going to have your couch eaten alive, it's probably best to deal with them then let that happen.
All right, well, listen, Collie, thank you as always for filling us in and flying the flag for the insects. Lovely to chat to you. That is Collie Ennis, who is Zoology Research Associate in Trinity College Dublin. All right, that is all we've got time for today. Thank you for listening in. Stay tuned to Drive Time with Sarah, which is coming up next, and I'll be back tomorrow.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.